Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your testimony. Just try to ask just a couple questions very succinctly. To follow up, Chairman Eichelberger, and some of the process. So as I understand it, if an executive agency believes that there is a need to provide for the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of the Commonwealth, they would make a request. Would that request go to the governor's budget office, and then that request, a requisition, be made of the treasurer?
Yes, any payment, regardless of whether or not we have a budget, it's during an impasse, or exceeds the appropriation, would go through that same process. Agency to controller of the Office of Budget, once approved to Treasury, Treasury to the bank.
And so presumably throughout that process, each of the agency department heads are making an internal decision with regard to health, safety, and welfare. The budget office would make a similar determination, but ultimately it would be the treasurer's office that would make that final determination in releasing funds.
Assuming the first two agree. In other words, it has to come to us before we do that, but yes.
Okay. Can you tell the committee offhand, and perhaps information you provide later we can receive from the Appropriations Committee staff, how much money has been appropriated, which requests have been received by the treasurer, and if any of those requests have been denied because they have not met the health, safety, and welfare, have not met the definition according to your interpretation?
It's difficult for me to tell you sitting here today exactly how many requisitions we approved over the last 6 months during the impasse or even recently. I mean, it would be an enormous amount. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask Keith Welks to walk you through some of the details, but in summary, during the impasse, there were approximately 145 different payments that we did not believe met some of the standards that you've articulated. That was about $4.3 million. There are also circumstances in which we simply raise questions, discuss, and a new requisition is submitted, maybe with additional information that wasn't apparent the first time. So it's a constant give and take back and forth between our department and the Office of Budget. But I think Mr. Wilkes can give you a little bit greater detail. Please.
Kind of a lot of detail already, Chris. Can I start by, I just want to make sure I clarify the context of your question. So the public health, safety, and welfare standard or test or litmus is not one that's generally applied. It's only one where there's an issue about making expenditures in the absence of an appropriation. I want to make sure that's clear.
Yes.
So, I mean, in the
yes.
normal course, we're not doing that,
mm-hmm.
right? So during the period of the impasse, the Office of Budget provided directions to all of its agencies as to how to continue to operate and not operate in the absence of appropriations. And they were instructed to be prudent and to be careful and to limit purchases and expenditures. And they were provided guidance, which we did not see, but which we were assured many times was given to them, that indicated that only those expenditures that were, again, for spending unappropriated funds that were necessary to preserve or protect the public health, safety, and welfare were to be incurred, and only those expenditures would be forwarded to Treasury for processing and payment. As Chris said, over the course of the impasse, about $4.34 million worth of payments came through that we rejected, many of which because we believe they were improperly coded to Ledger 5. They could not qualify under the terms and conditions that the Ledger 5 emergency stopgap appropriation established for their use. And when that happened, we sometimes, again, as you've heard, asked for additional information or clarification, additional justification, and ultimately, those 145 payments were rejected. They did not go through.
So this test, the health, safety, and welfare, would only be utilized if there was no appropriation. So in the event that we had appropriated, let's say, $10 million to corrections, towards the end of the year, there was a need for additional funding, and there was a belief that that additional funding beyond the appropriated amount was needed for health, safety, and welfare, that additional funding request would be denied and/or that test would not be utilized?
I'm sorry. Are you asking me if the Corrections Department submitted a requisition for payment at a point when the appropriation had been exhausted near the end of the year?
Yes. So we're talking, most of this conversation is in the event of zero. There's been no appropriation.
Right.
But now let's say there has been an appropriation, but for the health, safety, and welfare, an amount is needed beyond what has been appropriated. This test would not be utilized, and that request would be denied. I would presume there'd be a process by which the executive can come back to the General Assembly for a supplemental appropriation.
Well, there's certainly a process by which the executive can come back for supplemental appropriation for a variety of reasons, including the one you specifically outlined. But at the end of the year, if the corrections department ran out of money and the option were to release the prisoners because they couldn't be housed, clothed, and fed, and the Office of the Budget established a Ledger 5 coding on that basis and submitted requisitions to us, I would expect we would handle them then exactly as we handled them over the last 6 months, which is to say it seems like a persuasive argument that public health, safety, and welfare needs to be protected by making these expenditures, and we would meet them.
Okay, so there would be a decision made that, according to the health, safety, and welfare, that an appropriated amount would be exceeded without legislative authority, just as in the event of a budget impasse where zero has been appropriated.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I personally think that, again, is of some concern, and for me certainly crosses the line of authority granted under the Constitution. One final question I have, if you could speak specifically to the Constitution certainly provides for the General Assembly to provide for a thorough and efficient system of public education. Can you speak to the Secretary of Education's Department of Education, have they asked for any funding under the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of the Commonwealth? Have they presented? We've heard a lot of schools across the Commonwealth who've been facing decisions prior to the budget that we sent at the end of December closing their doors. Certainly seems to me there would have been an opportunity for someone from the executive branch, from the Department of Education, to seek this needed funding. Was that request ever made by the Department of Education?
No, Senator. I would also bring to your attention, you, as well as Treasury, have been sued in state court by the Pennsylvania School Boards Association. Their legal argument in theory is exactly as you articulated. Why should not school districts be paid under the Health, Safety, and Welfare Clause when there is a constitutional mandate that the General Assembly provide for a thorough and efficient education? Now, there's a legal response to that, but the very issue that you raised is a spillover consequence of the road that we're going down in uncharted territory.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you draw the line? Is in essence, why not education? Why not something else? It kind of goes back to what Senator Brown was discussing. And these are concerns to Treasury. That's why we are here today. That's why we have been pretty open about discussing them.
Mm-hmm.
Because Treasury, like financial markets, prefers predictability. We like clarity. Attorneys don't like taking risks. And that's kind of the situation we're forced into right now.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that, because it certainly seems to me that there were requests made and decisions made to fund some things and not other things, and our schools didn't make that list.
These are difficult decisions. I understand that.